Paul, earlier you and I, earlier in the week, you and I talked a little bit about the pilot shortage. And we talked about what was happening in the end where you personally are involved now, which is bringing new folks into a regional airline.
It's my daily life, Mike, except for this week with you. Other than that, it's my daily life.
And so the other end of that sort of chain, pilots who are older and retiring create openings for pilots who are maybe with the regionals,
sure,
and are moving up and through the majors. And that's what this conversation maybe should start on today. I want to bring in EAA Radio's wireless mic.
Hello.
Hi there, and welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
You realize the reason I'm in this chair is that you invited me to be in that chair several years ago.
Well, and the reason you're in that chair and took my place was because I'm part of the problem. I went from a regional airline to a mainline carrier because of a lot of reasons. I mean,
there's opportunity.
There's opportunity. Yeah. There's stability. There is better benefits packages. And I got tired of flying to the same upstate New York airports every week. Yeah. So, I mean, but there's a lot of reasons why all these people are going to the main lines. And they can attract the people. And there's plenty of people in the regionals right now that they can pull out.
Yeah.
But the problem is there aren't enough people coming up who are getting their ratings who can go into the regionals and fill that void.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a numbers game at this point. I mean, certainly there are a number of retirements that are forecast, you know, in the mainline ranks. Mm-hmm. I mean, at 65, it's it. And that problem was only mitigated for a short term because the retirement age, as you recall, used to be 60. Now it's 65. So now all of those people who would have retired either are retiring or will be soon retiring. So that's part of it.
And I want to just interject right there. That actually made the problem worse. Because then, like the college I went to St. Cloud State University. They had a great aviation program. And then they moved the retirement age back 5 years. Everybody stopped retiring. At the same time, there was the global depression.
Yep.
And oil prices went up to $140 a barrel. So all those things happened at once. Flight school enrollment went down. And flight schools closed. So actually moving the retirement age back had a very short benefit. But it actually had a long-term detriment on the whole pipeline coming up.
Well, you're exactly right, Mike. This is a growth industry at this time.
Yes.
I mean, I've said this before on air several times this week, that it's a great time to be a pilot. We just need more of them, to more people to realize that and take advantage of it. The short-term sort of benefit to the change in the retirement age is certainly one issue. The other thing that I'm seeing at the regional airline industry or level is many of us have joined to develop sign-on bonuses as financial incentives, to help offset the cost of getting some of your ratings. So many of us are doing sign-on bonuses to attract, you know, pilots into our airline. But we didn't just suddenly create a bunch of pilots because we have a sign-on bonus. All we've done now is to create a competitive environment amongst the regional airlines for the very same pilot. And again, it's a short-term tactical problem to a long-term strategy, which we don't have a solution for yet.
So is there an opportunity for somebody to make a mid-career change into commercial aviation if they've got their private, their instrument, their commercial?
We have an example of that.
I am a mid-career change.
Yes.
But you're an exception because you've gone all the way through flying the line and now you're in a management position.
No. And he's not an exception because, he had an entirely different career cutting heads off rats.
Well, that was before I was a VP of marketing. So, yes.
Apparently they decided that doesn't play well in the marketplace.
So, yeah, I wouldn't exactly say a renaissance person, but I've reinvented my work life several times.
What age did you get on with the airlines?
Well, let's back up. I didn't start taking flying lessons until I was 34.
Yeah.
So I was a late entrant to just take flying lessons, and I came to the airlines when I was 44, and I thought I would be too old, but in fact, I had five people ahead of me in a class of 20 who were still older than me, and now I'm approaching 63, so I've been there about 18 years. In point of fact, when I look at the makeup of classes today, it covers the full range of people who are barely able to hold ATP minimums at 23 years old, all the way up to the late 50s.
So it's happening.
Absolutely.
This mid-career changes.
There's time for you, Mike.
So
the
now
real
you know,
reason Mike was
so now you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, you want a job?
So, how? I mean, are there enough out there to help really mitigate the problem?
I think that's the very problem we're talking about. Is there is not enough? Let's start at the top. For whatever the reason, you have people that are leaving the mainline carriers. They're changing careers. They're retiring. Normal processes in the workplace. So that's creating openings in the main lines. The main line are hiring more pilots also because they have more airframes, routes are expanding, the economy is good, it's good. Where do the mainline partners get their pilots? A lot of them are coming from the regionals, some from the military. Where are the regionals getting their pilots? Some from the four-year flight schools, and so on and so on. It's back at the very beginning, though, that, we need a strategy to get into the junior highs and high schools and promote this profession. Young Eagles does a wonderful job in the EA program. I know, Mike, you're involved in that. Young Eagles is a great way to make an impression, but the pipeline is starving a little bit.
Right, and part of the problem goes back to the airlines kind of created this for themselves. It used to be you worked at a regional airline for 2 years, 3 years, you got on with the main line and you spent the rest of your career here. Well, with the various shifts in the industry, all the regional jets coming on board, they were able to shift a lot of their lift to the regional airline, and it was economic factors for the airline. They paid us less.
Sure.
And they could move people and have lowered their expenses. And that model worked great for them, and they expanded the regionals severely and increased the size of the regional aircraft time and time again. Unfortunately, now they have all of that lift at the regionals, and they don't have the capacity for them to get enough pilots. So it's sort of been a self-created problem, which at the time they were making the decisions, they were all good economic decisions for the companies.
Well, and it was appropriate at that time.
Right.
But the models are changing.
The models have changed, and no one sat in the background and said, hey, we're creating a problem in the future, and that if we keep having really low wages and people stuck at regionals for a long time, it's not going to be an attractive industry for us smart people, because a lot of pilots are really smart people. They have their own businesses. I know numerous pilots who have just quit to go to law school or to something else. So these are smart people. They have choices of where they can go in their career, and there wasn't the economic incentive with the wages being so stagnant at the regionals and no hiring at the majors for a long time.
And there's a high cost of entry.
Yes, that's something that really, if somebody would have been forward thinking, and I wasn't that person, so I'm not saying that I'm smarter than anybody else. During the Depression, that's when the airlines should have been ramping up training. They had an opportunity. They could have gotten ahead of this curve. But nobody was looking at what was going to happen after the Depression got over.
You're listening to what I guess I would describe as a family conversation inside EAA Radio. We don't really have a guest this hour, but this was on purpose. This was a scheduled conversation between folks who are part of the commercial airline business about the personnel shortage in pilots. So we talked about a range of solutions. Wireless Mike, do you have like one favorite solution? If you could wave your wand and say, we're going to change this and this is going to make the most difference, what would that be?
I think it has to be the airlines putting back into the training programs and doing things to incentivize people to get their ratings and to start flying, to find people who are mid-career who goes, I always wanted to fly, but just wasn't right. And if the airline spent a little bit of money and time finding those people and helping finance this really expensive thing to get them trained, you could really open up that pipeline. There's a lot of people who would love to come and do this job. It's a fantastic job. I have a lot of fun in my job, and there's a lot of people who would like to do it, but there are people who need help to get there, and some investment by the airlines is really would help a lot in that.
And my answer to that question, Mike, is we need, as a collective group, and when I say collective group, I'm talking about industry, academia, government, pilot associations, all need to work together, not in opposition, to promote the profession to our young people to get them started.
So, or even career change people.
Sure, of course.
I mean, there's lots of different people that we could get in. And there's a lot of pilots out there who have their ratings who are like, I don't want to go work for a regional airline. I do this. I make more money than a regional airline. Why would I take a pay cut?
Yeah, so my day job, is in an American corporation. American corporations are shedding lots of people. They're smart people. They're accomplished people. They're people who have, incomes that have allowed them to become pilots. Maybe they would trade a little income for a little of the excitement and enjoyment that you're talking about.
Well, and as much as we've talked about income, the starting wages at a regional airline have been going up.
Yes,
there's been
fantastic.
a lot of incentive and reason to do that. So, things are in a growth state.
Yeah.
It's how do we all manage growth?
So Wireless Mike, thanks so much for the conversation.
I have one more thing I'd love to put out there.
You're going to make me long on this break, dude.
What we need to do is get some of the people who retire from airlines go back into teaching students.
That's a great idea.
Fantastic.
Cool. I will soon be in that rank, I suppose.
Yes. So. I'm going to hold you to that one.
All right.
But next year, I hope to see you back as part of Squawk 1200.
Count on it.
This is Mike Morgan, and you're listening to